Da 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 da. Do 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 do. Ba ba ba. I like it if I can hear myself in the headphones. Don't ask me why. No, really, don't ask me why.
Buddy, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Didrick.
And this is another one of our Hot Times Summer in the City episodes where we are doing the show in the hottest room possible. We have raised the temperature as high as possible. And then we lit a fire
in the corner.
Let's shut the windows so we get better sound at the expense of any breeze.
Yeah.
And we'll see what secrets we reveal in this sweat lodge of truth.
That's right. As we head towards the into the hour, when we're just completely drenched in sweat.
Right. I can't even remember if we've introduced ourselves yet. I'm Ian Boothby. Did I say that?
Did you say that. Didrick? I said I'm David Didrick.
Okay, well, let's do it one more time.
I'll say it one more time.
Go ahead.
I'm David Didrick.
And I'm Ian Didrick.
David Didrick.
What?
What?
Oh, it's too hot.
I think
hot
I said it four
folks.
Times. I'm sorry, everyone.
This week's episode is brought to you by stuff that I want to plug. So let me get that going off the top.
The question show?
Let's do that first. That sounds good. Let's get business out of the way first. Our 250th episode is coming up, as a 250th episode does after you've done your 244th episode. As spring precedes summer and summer precedes the death of people dying from heat, so 244 precedes 250. And on our 250th episode, we're going to be taking questions from you, the listeners.
Okay.
I could say the viewers if you're looking at your iPod instead of just listening to it.
Sure.
No real reason to, but you could. And so we've been getting a lot of great questions. We would like some more because we're greedy. So yes, please send them to us. You can send us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can go to sneakydragon.com, the website. You can go sneaky@sneaky_dragon on Twitter. You can go fuck yourselves is what you can do. Wait, no, I'm sorry, guys. The heat just made me a bit upset. And those of you listening to this in the car with your daughters, again, I can't say I'm sorry enough for all the swearing that Dave usually does and that I just did. Other ways, we're on Tumblr as well. You can find all those ways, right? And we'll repeat them at the end of the show.
Okay.
But yeah, ask us questions about anything you want. And if you don't want to ask a question, give us an answer and we will give you the question for that answer.
Yes.
That's overly complicated.
That's right.
And yet we will do it.
And if you send us a question, you automatically get a goodie bag, including our bumper book of Worth So Jar, which I think is around 20 pages of our
I thought you were
going to
say how
comics.
Much it was worth.
That's
it's
right.
worth $20 on
20
eBay.
Cents, 20 cents on eBay.
Yeah.
And some other stuff. You get that and other.
Someone was selling a comic I gave away for free at Vancouver, the VanCaf.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were selling it for like $10 or something. And the one I did with Kathleen Gross. And she was delighted to see that someone was trying to sell that. I made it finally. So good for her. So we may throw one of those in there as well.
Yeah.
We'll throw in lots of stuff. But what will then happen if someone wins? What's the winning thing?
The winning thing? Well, you'll win a t-shirt for sure. Plus some other assorted items, which we will firm up as
and
we get
how
closer to the
we
show.
Are how we are going to be determining that is whoever sends us cash in the mail along with their question will win.
Okay.
The most cash wins.
I don't think that we made that part of a stipulation.
Okay, then fuck it. Then just it'll random. We'll pick it out of a hat.
That's right.
Though, by the way,
out of the raffle
hat. Thank you to our listener, Heather, who was the first participant in our Thanks for Gold program.
Yes.
Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with our Thanks for Gold program, many places, especially late night advertisements on television, will offer you cash for gold. Everyone offers cash for gold.
And who knew the gold was worth cash?
No one did.
No one did.
It was
until someone stumbled on this idea.
Absolutely.
It was like a untapped market.
Otherwise, at the Olympics, as soon as someone wins like a gold medal for fastest runner, they'd just be running out the door to sell their medal, right? Because it's worth money.
Now they know.
Now they know.
In the old days, they just threw it away.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, gold, useless. They just threw it out.
Yeah, they would throw it in the sea.
But then someone figured out, if I offer cash, I can get their gold.
Right. But fuck that. Sorry, I've said three fucks so far. what we offer you is thanks for gold.
Our explicit
rating is
safe.
If you give us gold, as our friend Heather has done,
gold.
We will offer you thanks.
Okay.
And so I have thanked her in person,
nice.
And I will say thank you as well. I'm also going to thank all the fine people who drive Vehicles with sirens. Yes. By the way, you all know the rule for when you hear a siren on the show or the game that we like to play. We have a little fun here. Sure. We're not against having fun. No. We're not a couple of, you know, stuck-ups.
We're not puritanical, straight-laced.
We don't hunt women and call them witches. And then, you know, we don't do that anymore. No. Lesson learned.
Yes, that's right.
You know?
Didn't work out last year.
That's right. Our sorry to everyone that we set ablaze.
Who listened to our 175th episode, the witch hunt episode.
That's right.
We apologize.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like at least three of those were not witches. And
now I feel bad.
Now, and I think at least two of them were raccoons.
I feel really bad.
All right. Now, that siren that went by, the game that we normally play is, you guess, was that an ambulance, a police car, a hazmat, a fire truck?
And or a placemat.
And if you win, you get to have a drink or eat a sandwich, depending on what you're into.
Yeah.
So try and guess, what was that?
What was it?
It was a fire truck.
I guess. So, that's what I guessed.
Good luck to everyone who is on fire right now. Hopefully, they're not being burned as witches. And
you
that has
know.
Not set things ablaze.
We may have started a trend last year.
Yeah, I know. We are trendsetters. Okay, so here's what I want to plug. I'm doing two improv-based comedy shows. If you want to come and see that.
Two?
Well, I'm doing more than that. I always do the Critical Hit Show, which is the last Wednesday of the month here in Vancouver at the Rio Theater, which is a very fun show to come see. If you want to come see that, live-action role-playing comedy, good times. Here are two new shows, though, I'm starting, and these are happening at Little Mountain Gallery in Vancouver up Main Street. Look on our webpage for more information, or my webpage, or just look it up. We'll point you to it. On August 12th, I'm doing a show called Game Show. It used to be called Sideswipe, but it's called Game Show, and the idea behind it is we got two
Why did you call it Sideswipe?
Because we had two competitive teams, and they would play like board games real fast, something board game-ish.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, the audience would vote. Well, then they would do a scene based on something that they just did.
Okay.
Then the audience would vote on what team they liked the best, and they would swipe a player from the other team if they won.
Mm.
But that name was complicated and confusing did not help the situation at all.
So you're thinking game show is a little more...
Yeah, it's called game show or game night, or it's called one of those things. I should know what the hell name it is.
Gamey?
That's right. Are you game? It's one of those. Anyway, we got some really good performers. It's going to be happening at Little Mountain. A lot of fun. Come see that.
What night is that?
That is going to be on August 12th.
Okay.
And that's about 8 p.m. Yeah. So that's...
It's coming up fast.
It's coming up fast, but not too fast. You can still go
that
to it.
Be next Friday.
Yeah, if you listen to it, then make your plans for the next Friday, you could. And here's something else to make your plans for. August 20th, we're going to be bringing back Write Club, which is, if you've seen a picture of Dave online dressed as Jane Austen, there is a chance that was because he was coming to Write Club, a show where the audience chooses their favorite writers. We then bring an audience member up, two audience members up.
Yep.
They will be playing their favorite writers. Don't worry. It's fine. You can dress up as your favorite writer if you want. That's your call. It's a good time. And then performers will then generate new material from those writers, and we will have the writers compete to see who's the greatest writer of all time.
Mm.
And it's always a lot of fun. We've had J.K. Rowling. We've had, of course, Jane Austen.
Yep.
We have had Neil Gaiman.
We came as Dashiell Hammett.
Dashiell Hammett. And your daughter Mary won as...
R.L. Stein.
There you go.
She beat me.
Did she go up against you?
She beat me as Dashiell Hammett.
So R.L. Stein went up against Dashiell Hammett, and boom!
Yep.
It was craziness.
This is, you know, a man's daughter cannot beat... She cannot lose against like a dad. That would just be that'd be terrible.
I would think.
I understood
that, you know,
how, why the audience voted
that
way.
I bet if you were Donald Trump, you wouldn't let your daughter win in a contest. I think he would try to beat his daughter. He would. He has got
He wants to do something to her.
Oh boy, I tell you, boy. We're not a big political show, but let me just say, do you think? Okay, there's a couple of theories here.
We got all the plugs out of the way.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you did the Write Club. Did you say when it was? I didn't.
I think I did. I think it was. I said it was August 20th.
August 20th.
That's right. So please come down to that. Come down to both. Okay, Donald Trump. Do you think? Because a couple of theories going around. One, he just believes what he believes, and that's what he is, and he is what he is, and it's all straight. There it is.
Straightforward,
he just says his mind. Two, he's a little mentally ill. Maybe got a touch of the dementia.
Okay.
Something's not right.
All right.
We're now realizing, we're in the later years of Reagan, but earlier. Sad thing. We'll see. Other thing, this guy just wants to be out of the race, and it's like keeps throwing things out there in the hope that someone will finally go no and take him off. But it doesn't matter what he says. What he says, to the point where he's attacking babies this week. And
it wasn't really an attack on the baby.
No, what he was doing, as someone mentioned, he's gaslighting the mother.
It was the craziest.
He's saying to the mother, "Hey, no, don't worry about it. It's great to have a baby here. I love babies. Babies are crying. It's a healthy baby. It's fantastic." Then later, "I can't believe she didn't take the hint. Didn't take the baby out of the room. I told her to take the baby out of the room. You heard me. Crazy broad won't take the baby out of the room. Babies."
Yeah. No, it was interesting. I just like the fact that he's just like, because he's like, "It's okay, don't worry. You know, she's going crazy down there because she's, you know, worried about the baby. It's okay. I love babies.
Yeah.
I love babies." And then he's talking about China devaluing their yen and messing with the American economy. And then but he can't keep his mind on track because, you know, he's not a natural speaker. B, he has no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
That is true.
So he's just, you know, just going along on some kind of weird path. And it's easier for him to get distracted. So now the baby's distracting him. So then he stops in the middle of it and goes, "Could we get it out of here?"
Yeah.
She thought I was serious. She didn't, and that, it's just weird.
Oh,
it's
really weird. Let me tell you what you do. Like, I'm no politician, but here's my angle. So I'm talking about China, right? And a baby starts crying.
Yeah.
And the baby's crying. And it's just like, "Oh, don't worry about it. No, it's great to have a baby here. It's great to have a baby. It's great to have two babies. It's great to have as many babies as you want. Isn't that true?" Anyway, back to talking about China. Anyway, and smooth transition. You've now did a little dig at China. You've made them look like bad guys. And you've been good to the baby. Everyone's happy. Meanwhile, the guards drag her out with the baby. And there you go.
The thing is, I don't think he's a natural speaker because he cannot keep his mind focused on what he's talking about.
Did you see the full video of that, though? Because it was really sad by the end where he's just going, "I thought it was a chicken," and it was just tragic what happened to the baby in the back.
He was not saying that. Okay. You're true.
That's right. After they had smothered the baby, it was like, "I thought it was a chicken," and it was a tragic
it was
episode
a terrible...
of the Trump. And yet people still went, "It's okay. I'll still vote for him."
Fine. It's fine. And his wife is hot.
Oh. Yeah. And she's going to keep getting hotter the more wives he gets. You're going to constantly upgrade like Pokemon, man. He just keeps evolving the wives.
It's fun that like 10 years ago, end of career, end of political career, that those pictures coming out. Now?
Oh, you're talking like there's nudie pictures?
Yeah.
Well, when he was eating his Mexi bowl or whatever on, Cinco de Mayo and going we have the best taco bowls, which is already, come on. If you looked at the magazines, one of the magazines was one of his ex-wife's picture nude. It was one of the Playboys that his ex-wife had did. It was on his damn desk. First of all, why is it still on your desk? Secondly, did you not know you were taking a publicity picture?
I think I have that Playboy.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep. No, it's gone.
I bought a bunch at a garage sale one time because I wanted the 70s ones, the 60s, 70s.
Because you wanted
ones.
To make a paper mache lady?
No, I wanted to get Gilbert Shelton's Heads and Feds.
Okay.
And the only way I could get it was to buy this two boxes of Playboys.
Sure.
But they were like $10 for like two boxes of them. But he had like a weird mix of like early, like 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess he kind of bought celebrity ones through the years. So there was an Ivana Trump one. Nice. I don't know why she was a celebrity.
Because she was. Because he was. She's been a celebrity for a long time.
What did Marla Maples also pose for?
I am not sure.
Okay.
I will have to. Yeah. Basically, like it's gotten so surreal, that you're just like, no. If this was in a movie, you'd go a bit over the top. RoboCop's got to come out any second. It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's beyond too much. And
well, we feel that way, but is it really too much?
Yeah, because name anything, and he's done it. Anything. Name it. You go like, well, he's not done something Nazi, kind of. Okay, well, race, how about how about like saying he wants to fuck his daughter? Yes, everything. He's done everything. Well, he hasn't thrown a baby at it. Yes, he has. Everything.
Yeah, it's odd. But what's odd, though, is it's like he is... Nothing can stop it. It's like that. Did you see that skit? I'm calling it a skit. It's like a little YouTube video where two guys decide as a joke that they're gonna, like in agreement with Trump that he's going to run for a Republican nominee. And it's just like a prank.
Well, that's a. Are you talking? There's two versions of that. Both are parodies of The Producers. Is that what you're talking about?
Is it a parody of The Producers?
Yeah.
What's The Producers?
The Producers is an old Mel Brooks film that they got remade with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. It's like, we could make more money out of a flop than a hit.
Well, no.
And it's like, we could get more money. We could make more money out of a horrible candidate than a good one.
Well, they don't say that. This is like, it's going to be a prank. And then and then it slowly, like, it keeps on going.
Yeah.
And then these guys are just like, they're like, suddenly they're no longer like comedy writers.
Well, I think there's a bigger question that David hasn't seen The Producers, which he really needs
to
see.
No, I have seen it. This was mixed up because this
All right, good.
This one didn't echo that idea to me. So then I was like, what about it was The Producers? They're just kind of like, and then they're trapped.
Yeah.
Because they've started this ball rolling and now they're stuck and they're just like more and more depressed. And they're just, and like they have a team of people around them who are enthusiastic Trump supporters.
Oh, absolutely. And realistically.
Who are really into this thing. And they're all like, oh, it's got to end any time, right? It's going to, well, this will do it. Like, this will be it. Like, this is the end. We still, you know, like, it just.
Yeah. I mean, his TV shows were kind of going down. And, you know, it's, you know, how do you get publicity? Well, you go and you run for president. Well, that's fantastic. You're going to make a lot of money doing that. But if you actually become president, you only get $200,000 a year. It's an enormous pay cut. And that's for 4 years, bud.
Yeah.
You're screwed. You're screwed financially. And then you've got to you got to make other people run your businesses. You got to step away from them.
Well, they'll probably be successful now.
But yeah, possibly.
I think his kids actually, he's not really that much to do with his. Like, he's got his brother is like the real guy who runs part of the real estate.
Maybe, but there's only so much you can. I think there's rules and regulations that, like, he then can't be involved in things that then will make him money.
Sure.
And so much stuff that a president would do would make him money. You know, so you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see how he wouldn't want to be president. There's no reason for him to be president. It doesn't benefit him in any way, shape, or form to be president, except for the ego stroke,
which I think is important.
And that but that's done after after the honeymoon period, at least. Then it's,
once he's elected.
Once he's elected, then everyone comes at him hard.
What a bore.
And you're screwed. You get people wanting your birth certificate and shit. It's it's terrible, the assholes that come out when that kind of thing happens. Oh, well, boy.
But he's most of them, so he's actually safe.
So do you think he's legit, or do you think he's a little off his rocker, or do you think it's...
I don't think he's off his...
Or do you think it's something that's gotten out of control that he didn't think would actually work?
I think your last one is correct. I don't think he's suffering from dementia.
I hope not, because that would be a little too easy. I wouldn't like it's a sad ending for him. And
we've
got to take him out. And we're gonna...
Take him out.
And well, yeah,
take him out and shoot him. That's right. Get out of here, you. Get out
of
here,
I'm not advocating any violence towards anybody.
Well, no, we're not going to kill him. We have to shoo him away.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Trump.
Yeah.
Go on. I hate you, Trump.
Take him to a farm up north.
I hate you, stupid presidential candidate.
Yeah, that's what we
do. Get out of here.
That's what we do to people with dementia.
Go on.
Yeah.
I hate you. Classic ending.
Yep.
No, I think that he's a person that thought it would be kind of fun to run his, you know, to kind of come in, do it on the cheap.
Yeah.
Not spend a lot of money.
Get a lot of attention.
Get a lot of attention for himself. And then, you know, discover this vast seam of anger in, I guess, white America. I don't think he's appealing to any other group. The interesting thing I was reading, I was listening to some people talking about elections, and they were mentioning Ronald Reagan got 56% of the white vote, and he swept power in 1980.
Yep.
2, was it? 1980? And then, whereas Mitt Romney got 56% of the white vote and was absolutely trounced. So it's the real difference in terms of, you know,
numbers,
demographics now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting. Like, I just wonder how much of an appeal he has across, outside of this angry ball of white hatred.
Yeah, it's hard to get actual...
Or fear. Let's not call it hatred, because it's more fear. And I know that hatred's part of it, but the fear is the bigger part. It's just some sort of fear that we're losing our stuff.
And some people just want to see shit burn. Some people just want to see, let's see how there's the fireworks display goes off. Yeah. Oh, I'll watch that.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And also,
there's members of the Fight Club.
Well, I mean, a lot of people I'm not a big fan of reality TV shows, a lot of people are, right? And, you know, he's doing
I was suggesting that you were secretly were.
Oh, well, you're wrong. And he's doing the heel turn, and you love the heel. The heel is the most exciting part of a reality show. You want the jerk, but you don't want the jerk to win at the end.
No.
You know, there's no fun in that. You want to see the jerk raised as high as possible and then fall.
The jerk... When you watch a reality show, and I have not watched very many, it's been a while since, I think the last one I watched...
Bachelorette?
Bachelor? America's Next Top Model.
Okay.
So it's quite a while ago. I mean, no, the early versions of it. And it's interesting because you hate this character, and yet she keeps on being, she keeps continuing on the show. And after a while, you realize, oh, because she's such a, you know, such a lightning rod for the controversy on the show that they need this character to keep going.
Yep.
It doesn't matter that she's not that good. That's outside of the, you know, even though the show is, you know, looking for America's Next Top Model in quotation marks, really they just want to have a show, and so they need these characters to keep the liveliness of it going. So yeah, no, it's you know,
I used to watch I would watch Hell's Kitchen when it first came out. Can't watch it anymore; it's just too ridiculous. When I first watched it, they would always give like a restaurant to the person at the end, and I always want to see like what's the follow up now? How are all those restaurants doing? Are those still in existence?
Yeah. Is that Hell's Kitchen? Does it go into a restaurant and yell
originally
at people?
It did. No. Hell's Kitchen is they get a bunch of young chefs who are okay, and then they make them do near impossible tasks, then scream at them for doing these near impossible tasks, and just yell at them and throw stuff on them and do everything but punch them. And
well, what I like in the
someone always cuts themselves or burns themselves.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And then at the end, someone gets it's lovely and we're all loving and we all were family. And abusive dad has a nice Christmas with everyone and gives them all a fucking hug. And then someone gets a restaurant.
What I like about the more recent seasons, which I guess you haven't seen, is Daredevil comes in and beats him up.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good part.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I like that he's protecting Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah. I didn't have to put that. I didn't have to put a T on the, or a slash there. I didn't have to put a line on the T. I don't even know what
Hell's
you do.
Hell's Kitchen's gonna get so busy.
What do you do with T's? You cross your T's.
Yeah.
I didn't have to cross a T. Everybody, I'm gonna edit all the rest of my fumblings.
Good
out.
For you.
It's about time.
Once you've got your Luke Cage and your Iron Fist in there, that's a busy Hell's Kitchen.
It is busy.
I mean, why even do crime there?
Yeah.
Kingpin, you idiot. Move to Chicago. Who's there? No one. San Francisco, start some crime.
He should go into Hell's living room. Am I right, everybody? Am I? What were we talking about? Oh, reality shows. Yeah, I just feel like, you think that's, here's two questions.
They're living in one right
two
now.
Two questions. Yeah. Are Americans such a fan of like the reality show that they're willing to turn their presidential election into a reality show? Is that what it's become? Is like,
yeah, because you know what's happened is they don't. Okay, and it's admittedly some people are going through a hard time. Everyone, there's always a time where everyone's going through a hard time. But like when Obama,
I think their economy is doing quite well in the States.
Yeah, I know. But there's always someone who feels like people feel like they're being left behind while other people rise. That's usually what they feel.
Called aging.
No, I understand.
Okay,
but when Obama was when it was up to Obama and McCain. Holy shit. The economy was really heading for a fall and it looked like the auto industries were going to go out of business and shit. So it was a little more serious. You had to fucking deal with things. There were real issues on the table.
Okay.
And now it feels like there aren't. There's not anything that's like horrible.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to.
It's time for fake issues.
It's time for make-em-ups.
Time for a wall.
Yeah, because you're worried about those raping Mexicans, right?
Build a wall.
What about the raping Mexicans? I've never
Build
heard about
a wall.
These. Yeah, raping Mexicans. Well, we better deal with that. It's not an issue. It's not a real thing. It's fake.
By building a wall.
Yeah, and you can't fight against the fake because you can't argue a point against something that's fake because it's fake. So it's all make-em-ups now. It's like when the X-Files were on the first time, there was really nothing going wrong with in America. It was pre 9/11.
Yeah.
It was post, you know, like Watergate and all this other stuff. There was nothing really horrible. We didn't think we were going to get nuked anymore.
Yeah.
We're kind of relaxed, and that was the time we went, maybe I don't trust the government. Yeah, they're probably planning something, those guys. So that's the only thing, you know, the X-Files thrived and that kind of thing. And this thrives now because there really isn't a lot of problems, you know, except maybe the environment's going to shit, you know, and every so often we have the greatest storm of all
maybe.
Time. Yeah, I'm going to go maybe.
Okay.
You know, but yeah. So, but, you know, this guy ain't going to take care of that either. Oy, boy. Oy, good
nor
boy.
Nor is she.
Nor is she, probably, but more so than... I mean, this is where it comes down to is like you look back in the day when it was Bush and Gore, and the gag on Saturday Night Live was always they're saying the exact same things. They're the same person. The same person is running. That was the joke. They did a thing on Futurama where it was like two candidates that were basically clones of each other were running for president. They couldn't be more the same. But the second they get elected, one gets elected, you go, oh, no, they weren't. The smallest little difference when you extrapolate it and give them power, holy shit. You know, now we got this and then we got that. But this guy is like already so far that you're like, what can you do? Oh, it's crackers. It's crackers.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting.
I really honestly hope he doesn't win. I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to put that
That's
out there,
bold,
everyone.
That's a bold statement.
It's a bold statement, I know. I'm going to put myself out there. But it would be interesting if he won, because you almost feel like you hope that his in his mind be like, well, I got to rein it in now. Like, no more crazy town. Like, I got to get serious.
Well, you get the
feeling. But I don't know. I don't think he can.
I don't think he'll. No, I don't think he'll. What he'll do is he'll step aside and let the guy, the vice president, run things and other people run things and basically be the designator.
Yeah.
I think because he doesn't know what he's fucking doing. Like, it's clear. Like, he was talking about Russia, you know, this week. And he was saying how, you know, Putin's not going to go into the Ukraine. You know, he's not going to do this. And I think it was George Stephanopoulopoulos said to him, he's already there.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you know, what I'm D-Y-G, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dum-dum. You know? But he's a rich dum-dum. And when you're a rich dum-dum, people cut you slack. And, oh, boy, I know. Again, it's like, I know some people don't like to talk politics. To me, this is so beyond politics that it's like, it's a culture thing that just is so, what the fuck?
I think you're right in a way. It is more of a cultural thing than it is a political, because I don't feel like if you were a dyed in the wool Republican and you hold those parties' beliefs to your heart, whatever you are in the spectrum of Republicanism. Mm-hmm. You can't look at Trump and say, well, this guy totally represents what I believe. Nope. Because he doesn't, you don't know what the guy thinks about anything. I mean, I know he talks about a wall. I know he's mad at some family whose son died in Iraq. I know that he's doesn't like babies in the audience. But, you know, there's no, what is his fiscal ideas? Where does he stand on taxation outside
he'll
of
be
him
great.
Not, him
he'll
not
be
paying
great
tax?
At it.
He'll be great at it.
He'll be great at it.
It'll be splendid. What does he say? It'll be tremendous.
Yeah.
It'll be tremendous. I don't know what I'm going to do, but whatever I do, it'll be tremendous.
Yeah, it'll be in doo-doo. Everyone will be in doo-doo.
It'll be tremendous
deep,
doo-doo.
Deep doo-doo. Yeah. It almost feels like you can't even make fun of it because it's so big and so crackers. Like, it's already, it's like making fun of a clown. You just go, well, you're making fun of him falling on his butt. He's a clown. Of course he's going to fall on his butt. It's too much.
But do you think it's harder for Hillary Clinton then? Because, you know, she's getting no attention paid to her.
Well, she did during the Democratic convention. No, but the angle they took, which was smart, which was, hey, America's pretty great. If you got a guy saying, let's make America great again, all you got to do is like bust out the flags, motherfuckers. Here we go. Let's do it. It's great. And let me tell you what's great about it. And it's like America will cheer itself, you know, absolutely. So that's the angle they took. And, you know, they slammed him, which is fine. But I think she came across really, really well in that. How could she not in comparison? But, you know, they're the hate circus, but they're dragging out, you know, Scott Baio and the Duck Dynasty guy.
When are you going to bring out the celebrities? Speaking of reality television, having like the Duck Dynasty guys come out. I mean, they're like the phoniest people you'll ever meet.
And he didn't shoot any ducks. That's the one thing we like to see you do.
Do they
kill a fucking duck,
do
man?
Do they actually shoot ducks on their show?
How could they not? What? They're duck hunters.
I've never
Is
seen
it a
show.
Duck hunting show where they I never kill
know.
A duck?
I don't know.
What a weird thing
I've
that
seen
would be.
It one time.
Did they kill a duck?
They did not kill a duck.
What did they do?
Well, they went out. You know, okay, here's the thing. You know how reality shows? I used to watch a show I like called Orange County Choppers. Yes, I'll admit I watched it for quite a while. Because I like watching them build the motorcycles. Sure. Like, I like watching them, like...
Is that the one with the guy, Big Mustache?
Big Mustache.
Hates sleeves.
He hates sleeves. Yeah. And then he would get really mad and throw his boot. And his son would... Then they cut to his son, you know, a couple of months later going, to be honest, I don't know why Dad was so upset about, you know, or whatever. And his son did all the work, and he just sat around his office, you know, with his size 14 boots that he would get mad about and then throw them. But anyway, I did like that show.
Yeah.
But that show had the same thing, right? Where it was be like, let's take the three of them, the two sons and the dad, golfing. They'll go golfing. Let's see what happens. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, so
simple
they have
life stuff.
They have the Duck Dynasty guys and they're like, let's
send
take
them, to college.
Let's take them skeet shooting and see what happens or something like that, right?
Oh, that'd be fine.
Take them to college. I don't know what they do.
I know. Well, then you're basically doing Rodney Dangerfield back to school.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, so they set up like completely fake scenarios.
Yeah.
And then they see what happens.
That they don't frame it with, we were duck hunting today because that's what we do for a living.
Duck hunting? Have you ever seen them before they'd started the show?
Oh, yeah.
They're like
clean,
totally
shaven.
Normal guys in their chinos and their polo shirts. And
don't have the American bandanas.
There's normal looking guys. And then they started the show and they transformed themselves into a bunch of yabos or yahoos. Or what do they call them down the south? Yahoos?
I guess yahoos. Yeah, I think people use Google more now than Yahoo.
They call them Ask Jeeves down there. That's how out of, that's how out of date the South is. yeah, so I just feel like everything...
Thought of the dumbest joke in the world.
Oh, say it.
That Ask Jeeves, well, now that no one's asking him any more questions, he's a real askless chap. Okay, go ahead.
So it's just an example of that the whole reality show stink of Donald Trump, that this Duck Dynasty phony baloney is on the show. And then Scott Baio, I mean, obviously just a washed up nobody who, mm-hmm. you know, happens to have his two cents to say. I don't think he has two brain yeah. cells to rub
and,
together.
What's his name? Sabato?
Antonio Sabato.
Sabato Jr. Yeah, yeah, he's doing a thing
who
now.
Who he? That's...
Yeah.
To put it into private eye speak, who he?
He was a guy who in the 90s did some work as a handsome guy.
Private Eye, the magazine, not Private Eye. Yeah.
And then he had some handsome work and got some work. And then he got older and that we've got more handsome guys. We're fine. Mm-hmm. And so occasionally he'll play handsome guy. Like he played handsome guy number one in the Three Stooges movie.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
But now
is he like kind of a Sharknado actor kind of idea where he stars in those sort of movies?
He also was in a reality show. Mm. So now he's saying that Hollywood has blacklisted
Sabato Night Fever?
Because he's linked up with Trump. So Hollywood has blacklisted him now.
Really?
So he's working less than nothing, which is what he was working. It's like, what the ba-boo. Look, I'm sure there's...
It's terrible that you get blacklisted for...
But he's not blacklisted.
You just said he was blacklisted.
Yeah, he did. That's what people say when they... It's like Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he says he's blacklisted.
Yeah, that's what...
You said he was blacklisted.
It's like
blacklisted.
Alec Baldwin when he goes, man, Hollywood's really changed. It's like, no, you stopped being handsome. The end. That's what happened. You gained pounds and got older, and now we've got more handsome guys, and now you're treated differently. Yeah. And it's not the world is treating you differently. It's you're different, and this is how the world treats people who look like you. This is what they do. And same with, you know, Sabato. Yeah. God bless you. But we've got a Tatum, and he's
Tatum?
Fine. We're full of Tatum. We don't
have
need
like a
Sabato.
Joe Mangiello. Like, he's an older guy who's hunky or whatever.
Sure, we're good. We're good for hunky guys. No
He spends
worries.
A lot of time working out.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of time working out.
Tatum's doing the new Splash. Everyone's going to enjoy that.
He's going to be the merman.
That's right.
In it. It's a twist, everybody. It's a twist. From now on, there's remaking films by changing the genders.
Yeah.
That's the new Hollywood thing.
Well, they were going to just keep remaking them, not changing the genders. And fine. It seems a good idea, actually. Anything that gets him shirtless for as much of the movie as possible. And he's good playing a somewhat dumb guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be fine. It'll be all right. It does remind me, though, of... In I think Funny People, where Adam Sandler is playing the merman, and it's like a riff on like what would be the worst idea
that.
For a movie possible, and it's Adam Sandler as a merman. Yeah, reminds me a little bit of that. There's going to be some but you know, good for him. He'll be fine. Sabato, you're just Sabatoing. You're fine. Go do regional theater. You'll be fine. Go to conventions and sign your name for $20. You'll be fine. You're fine. And no one owes you a living forever being a handsome dude. Jesus fuck. You're an actor. Go act in some shit. You'll be fine.
I enjoyed Channing Tatum, or as I like to call him, Channing Potatum. I enjoyed him in Hail Caesar. His dance sequence was really good. His Gene Kelly impersonation was quite good.
There was a lot of things that would have made a good movie in that movie.
I really enjoyed that movie. I saw it on the weekend.
Oh, I really did liked not it. Care for it.
I really liked it.
I liked a lot of actors. I wish it went somewhere, but it's like the Coen brothers seem to nowadays just go, and we're done. Are
it,
you sure you're
what
done?
What do you mean it went somewhere? It went somewhere. It had an actual ending.
What? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Meh.
Yes.
No.
Yes. It did. It had an ending.
I'm not remembering it that well, but I do remember like going
Josh
another...
Brolin's character.
Yeah.
Has an actual arc. He is being tempted away from a life that he loves for something that's easy. And he decides that he'd rather do the hard thing that he cares about than the easy thing that he doesn't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a little speech. It's good. It is an ending.
Mm. Nah, I didn't like it. I liked the guy who played the cowboy a lot. I like that.
Yes, he's
I
very
liked
good. The new Han Solo.
I liked Scarlett Johansson's scenes with the swimming.
Brassy
and everything.
Dame.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah,
I really liked all that. There's so many elements that I was like,
you just liked everything in the film.
Yeah, but I don't think it made a
film.
Movie out of it. That was my thing. Was like
really
these are all
it.
A whole bunch of things happening, but and they're all really well done. But I don't think they'll come together to make a cake.
I thought the communist subplot was a little silly. But you know, I'm willing to give the Coens I'm not the biggest fan of their humorous films. Like even Raising Arizona does not raise a smile.
That one I do like a lot. Yeah, I like
but
that.
But most, I prefer their dramas. Mm-hmm. and I prefer their shoot 'em up dramas.
Now, here's my question about this. Now, a lot of the characters there were amalgamations of famous.
Some are real. Eddie Mannix was a real person,
right? And he's the worst.
Not as nice in that.
No,
as
no,
he is
no.
In that
beyond
movie.
That,
he's a terrible person.
That's the problem. Is like when you've got as your lead someone like Mannix,
yeah.
who probably killed his wife, killed a lot of people, a real fucking monster. If you look up what he was,
yeah.
Is it okay to make a movie where you make him the good guy? Is that all right? That feels weird.
Especially when you're mixing
up all the other characters and making them into things. Why name your lead this character? And
I know
and
it's
make
weird because
there
the were real
ethical character in your movie.
There were real people, like Nicholas Schenck, who he keeps calling where he calls in the morning to talk to, or is it Joseph Schenck? Nicholas Schenck or Joseph Schenck? I can't remember who, but one of them, the money man in New York, who he calls the Lowe's. I assume Capital is kind of like a MGM.
Okay.
And so Lowe's was the sort of parent company of MGM. They were the money. And the reason the money came in was because sound came in.
Mm-hmm.
And when sound came in, it made movies really expensive to do. And so the studios had to go to the banks to get money. And so big companies took over the studios because they had the capital to keep them going, to bring them into the sound era. And studios that didn't go into the sound era disappeared.
Okay.
So that's, you know, and so I like those elements of it that it had. You know, it based it in a real place. I didn't like so much that Eddie Mannix was a real person, because like you say, he was a horrible human being.
And when you actually see his wife in the movie, you're like, ooh, what are you setting up?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you setting up here? Yeah, you're not. Yeah. Well, that's weird.
It's weird.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah, that he's a decent guy. And I know.
It's like making a movie, and this is a much lesser thing, about Ike Turner, and you're like, man, Tina loves him. Anyway, and then he goes on to really save the day.
Yeah.
And they never mention anything about nothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it would be dumb. I mean, I guess you could do that, but you have to like end the film at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Robert Altman's. There's no happy endings, just happy stopping places, mm-hmm. right? So you just stop before like the cocaine psychosis of the 70s. You just, although he's probably like a monster taskmaster in the 60s as well. But it probably when they were making money, that wasn't so bad. It's when you're just like a cokehead, and you're playing like cabarets and scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Though the Coens really do, when they want to do something, they know how to do it. And they do it well. I'll give them that.
It's so well done, that film. I mean,
it's very well
done. Hobie's like his the Western element of it when they show that little stunt
when
sequence.
They show all the things like to the point where I just wanted them to go, fuck it, just show me these movies. I want to see you doing these genre movies full on because that'd be great.
They did True Grit.
It kind of makes me go, aw, to like Woody Allen, who, you know, is still doing the kind of things that he's doing. And they look beautiful. They look gorgeous. But they're just out of gas now. They're just like have nothing to say. And they're just going. And it's like, oh, boy. And then once in a while, you'll get something. You go, oh, Midnight in Paris. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
okay, well,
fun.
All right, let's wait 5 more films. And oh, that's a good boy. Okay,
I'm not in your camp there.
Oh boy, okay.
As someone who enjoyed Scoop, I have to put myself into the yay for Woody Allen films.
Scoop's a long time ago.
It was
Scoop's before Midnight in Paris.
Okay. Magic in the Moonlight. I enjoyed that film.
Okay,
I enjoyed that.
When in Rome.
Did not see it.
Okay,
I know it's on Netflix. Yet I have not seen.
There's elements to that that are okay, mm-hmm. and then there's elements that you go, oh, stop it.
It has that guy in it.
Alec Baldwin?
No.
Hollywood's really changed, he said.
Really? It looks a lot like Rome now. It used to be like L.A. Now it's like Rome. What happened? No, he's an Italian actor.
There's less Kim Basinger's around nowadays.
Roberto Benigni's in it.
Okay.
I don't know. Something about that guy. I don't know.
You didn't enjoy his Pinocchio?
I just don't want to see a film that with a guy who looks like an accountant. No, I don't know what it is. I just, something about him rubs me the wrong way.
I think that was the film that had the thing in it where it was the guy who could only sing in the shower. And so they did elaborate things to allow him to just be able to sing in the shower in public. And it was like, ah, that's kind of clever.
That's When in Rome?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, it's an Italian guy and he's singing in a shower. So I'm going to assume it was the When in Rome movie, unless he made another Rome movie, which he probably did.
Arrivederci Roma.
Maybe it is.
I don't know.
He's just over there.
The Bicycle Thief.
Happy. He's walking
That's a Woody Allen
street.
Film, right?
He'll do a movie anywhere someone's got a statue to him. And so, you know, Europe is where that is.
Yeah, no, going back to Hail Caesar, I thought, you know, I understand. I think I agree with your criticism that Eddie Mannix.
Well, let's end that
there
then.
No, let's not end there. I was saying, I agree with your criticism that, you know, you putting real people into it, it does feel, you know, and then not having real people in it so that you're all your, you know, it's not Esther Williams. It's not whoever that Hubie guy is.
Yeah.
There was really no one like that. I don't know who it's supposed to be.
And it's strange a little bit, the communist thing, because, you know, one of the darkest points in Hollywood is the naming of the communists and how they're, you know, but, and then you're showing the communists and they're actually evil communists. They're not good guys. They are planning. They are plotting. They are doing all this stuff. It's like, well, that okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of a fun, but it's sort of a fun alternate Hollywood. It's an interesting Hollywood angle to take. Yeah, yeah.
You know, what if they were right? That's fair. Like, if you did the whole flip thing then too, and like, you know, the worst guy in Hollywood. Yeah, he actually was a pretty good guy. Oh, how about those poor communists, people who were accused of being communists that weren't? They were communists.
Yeah,
they were trying to destroy America. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And you flip the whole thing around, maybe. But yeah, there you go.
Because Marcuse, how do you say his name? Herbert Marcuse, he's a real person, right? Like,
I'm not sure.
Marcuse is an actual like sociologist or someone who wrote from a leftist point of view about.
You tell us, listeners, are they real people?
That's a real person, I think. So they have him in it. They have Eddie Mannix, but then you know the Scarlett Johansson character is obviously based on Esther Williams. There was only one swimming superstar of that time.
Yeah,
but it's not Esther Williams because she wasn't a brassy dame.
Yeah,
and she wasn't the one who adopted her own child. That was someone else.
And that all went away until the Aquabelles on the Brady Bunch show.
Mm.
Then they tried to bring it back. They did not succeed.
I do not remember that. I do not remember
that. It was, okay, real quick. Donnie and Marie was a very successful show, and they had, because there was the success of like Ice Capades and what have you, so instead of dancers, they had ice skaters. So they would do their numbers, and then the ice skaters would do some stuff. And so when the Bradys did their show, they went, well, we can't do ice skaters.
No.
We can't do dancers.
Yeah.
We can't even do roller thing. What do we do? You know what?
Mm.
Swimming.
So swimmers under the ice.
They would, they would not make it. And the show wouldn't make it either. But yeah, they'd be just doing swimming musical numbers.
Wow. That's terrible.
It was terrible. And I'm trying to think, like, if you watched the show.
I never did.
You'd always have a giant pool there. It would all smell of chlorine. That'd be a weird environment with lots of electricity around. That's not, you don't want to do a live show with that business.
You know, I watched the Donnie Marie show.
Okay.
But I missed the Brady Bunch one. Which tells me that the Donnie Marie show was much better than the
Stuff to do. Or it was on later and your parents wouldn't let you stay
true.
Out.
That's true. I did have a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah. I think both had Paul Lynde drop by once in a while.
Oh, really? Paul Lynde was
all over the Donnie Marie show.
He was always in the Donnie Marie show. I think he was like part of the repertory company.
And they were, I think they were both written by Bruce Vilanche for the most part.
Really? No way.
Oh, Donnie and Marie,
how old
sure.
is that guy?
Well, he's Muppet age. He just is
yeah, I know. He looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
I thought he was like a guy in his 40s.
No. He used to write for the Donnie Marie show for sure.
So he's a guy in his 80s.
No.
What do they? I don't know. Yes. Okay. Are you going to look it up? No, you can disagree with me. You don't have to look it up.
I can disagree with you and look it up. I can both things.
You can agree. You don't.
You got outraged there. I saw the anger in your eye.
Well, it's just because I've seen him on shows talking about stuff, and now he's
born
like a little.
Born in 1948.
Good Lord. He does not look that. Well, he's very well preserved. Kudos to you, Bruce Vilanche.
How would you know if he's aging? He's got long hair. He's got a beard covering most of his face.
Yeah.
Glasses covering the rest of it. He's basically wearing a full mask.
He fucking figured it out.
Yeah.
It's the beard of Dorian Gray.
It's the Alan Moore situation. You don't know how old Alan Moore is.
Alan Moore looks old.
How do you know? Just his eyes.
His eyes look old?
If he had a little work done on his eyes, got those bags taken away, shaved the beard, you would have no idea who the heck he was.
But if he shaved his beard, you don't have to do any work on his eyes. You can shave his beard off.
You kind of
would
see those sad eyes and you go like, oh, that's an Alan Moore. Maybe it would. He's sad about that whole Watchmen being re-released again now.
What?
It's being re-released now for the 30th anniversary.
The graphic novel is?
Yeah. Well, not a graphic novel. Oh. Well, it is a graphic novel, but it's going to be released. Like the individual issues are now going to be released in hardcover.
Oh, that's dumb. That's a cash in.
Yeah. So that's how that's going to go.
Mm.
And it'll go out there and there. And then for the 40th anniversary,
I think people
they're
should
planning
read it.
On, I'll tell you, Dave.
Yeah.
For the 40th anniversary,
they're planning
on releasing it as a suppository.
Thank God Bruce Vilanche has started writing for our show.
Ah!
Thank you, Bruce.
Circle gets the square. Yeah, both Paul Lynde and Bruce Vilanche, Hollywood Squares, folks.
Was he also on?
Yeah, but Bruce Vilanche was on the later version of the Hollywood Squares, where Whoopi Goldberg was the center square.
Not the one with the guy from Too Close for Comfort.
Maybe. I think he was a little earlier.
Bullock.
Yeah, J.M. was his first name.
J.M.?
Yeah.
Bullock.
Sure. Jim J. Bullock.
Jazzman Bullock.
Right. And the Fresh Prince.
Okay.
Right. Please continue, though.
What was I talking about?
What weren't you talking about?
I was talking about Hail Caesar.
And oh, my
I think
God.
We went way off the... Caesar. Well, that's what I was talking about, and we went off this long aside. So, I was just going to say that I thought you were wrong.
Okay.
So I know you didn't like it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. We got to Watchmen. We got to talking about it's available as a suppository.
Yeah.
You were going to say something about Watchmen, possibly.
No.
It was stupid to release them as hardcover individual issues.
That's a terrible cash in, like a terrible cash grab, and possibly illegal.
Why is it illegal?
It would have been illegal before Trump's America. Am I right? Am I right, everyone? Not legal. I'm just joking. But
yeah,
let's all remember that
Before Watchmen happened during Obama's America.
Mm.
For all of you that are pro-Obama, yeah. He let Before Watchmen happen.
Thanks, Obama.
Okay.
Hashtag thanks, Obama. No, I was going to say that I do think people should read Watchmen. I do think it's like a kind of an important graphic novel in the history of superheroes.
I like the idea of them reading it as individual issues.
But yeah, it will never be as good as it was. And this is not nostalgia speaking. This is cold, hard facts speaking. That it can never be as good as getting it a monthly thing, like a monthly suppository, where you waited eagerly.
Yeah,
you know, and by the time the 10th month's come, you'll kind of be wanting to stop that treatment. Like, I've had enough.
Yeah,
why are they getting bigger?
I just don't know who hasn't read it that wants to read it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that this is the way they're going. Like, the only thing I think is like, collectors want to collect it.
Yeah.
In another form, fine. But, like, if you're reading it for the first time, I do like the idea of reading them in separate.
Yeah, I think you should.
That's great. But, what? I don't know. It's, yeah.
But, you know, I feel the same way about Netflix shows. And I know you like the mass release all at one time. But I kind of feel like it misses something that you get with, like, people who are fans of that TV show about an imaginary world with dragons.
Oh, Bob Ross paints pictures?
That's right. Now, what people like about that show is that it's on once a week. And, you know, so there's an event element to it where the next day you're talking about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with something like Stranger Things, for instance, there's people who have seen all of it.
Yeah.
There's people who have seen some of it.
Yeah.
There's people who are waiting to talk to their friends so they can see all of it. And then there's people who hate it. There's people who hated it a week after it came out.
There's people who hated it the first one. Went, yeah, you guys said it was good. It's boring. Done. Oh,
fuck
I'm
them.
Watch it.
Fuck them. But I just mean that there's people who hate it because they already feel like they've missed the train on it. It's only been on a week.
Yeah.
But because everyone binge watched it and watched it so quickly, they're already feel out of the loop, and so the natural feeling when you're not part of something is to not like it.
Though when
you know, it's like Pokemon Go. If you're not part of it, the natural urge is to not like it.
Yeah.
And you've got to fight that urge to not like something that you don't do.
Yeah, it's really annoying seeing other people enjoy something you don't like.
Not even that you don't like,
don't
that,
care
you're not,
about.
That you don't feel a part of. And so, yeah, then you're mad at them. You're like, well, what's so great about soccer?
Yeah.
You know? Soccer's a stupid sport. Stupid for stupid people who like watching a ball go
someone likes
kicked
having,
up and down the
someone likes
the
having
field.
Kids. Oh, having kids. I'm raising kids. And
yeah.
It's great. It's great fun.
It's so stupid.
Vacation with them at Disneyland. It's fun.
Yeah. The goddamn dinks. Double income, no kids. They got it easy.
It's like...
all know how sad your life is.
Two shows I've really liked lately are like Stranger Things. That's one.
Yeah.
And then Preacher is another. And those are two examples of like shows that have big cliffhangers at the end of every episode.
Okay.
And I got to say, I do myself enjoy the Stranger Things way of doing it where, you know, I can pace it out myself. I can go, that's enough for me now.
Yeah.
Walk away. Come back. Whereas like Preacher, you know, it's been a long time to get to where you're going. And it's enjoyable.
I guess.
But, you know.
But, I mean, and you're a different situation than I am. Like, you don't go to work on a Monday morning. You know what I mean? So you're not.
No, I go to work on a Monday to Sunday. Every day.
No, but you
I just want to clarify that. Yes.
Yeah, I don't mean you're unemployed. What I mean is that you don't go to work with other people.
That's right.
And so there's not that communal element of TV viewing.
Right.
You know, where people, when you come in, people are all talking about Bob Ross. Paints a picture. Is that what the show called?
I don't think that cloud was happy.
No.
I didn't see it.
That little happy tree over there? You know what? I just want to say a little aside about that show. I always loved when he painted the clouds, painted the mountain over the clouds, and then I was just like, stop. Stop there. That's what I like. I just like that cloud kind of floating in the sky, like a kind of magical island floating in the sky. Don't need to add any more. Oh, you're putting trees in. You ruined it.
Well, no, you don't, because you're watching it on Netflix now. Now that people are watching on Netflix, here's what you do. Pause. Done.
Well, I could have done that when I was watching a PBS. Just turn it off.
Well, no,
it's
no,
not like TV.
No,
I was forced to watch it to the end.
No, but you couldn't pause back in the
day.
Oh,
I see.
Pause, freeze. There's the image.
Yeah,
lovely.
Well, I guess they could have recorded
it. And then
if
you're watching it on your computer,
yeah.
Let's save that picture. Now
take
I've
a
got
screenshot.
It.
Yeah.
Screenshot. There's my picture. Print it up. Frame it. Put it on the wall.
What's it called?
Screen grab.
Screen grab, print it up.
Put on your wall. Boom.
Screen capture.
Perfect.
Screen capture.
Also screen grab.
No,
work.
I don't like that. Unless you're going to say...
Doesn't matter if you don't like it or not.
Unless you're
going to
say screen grabshire, then I'll like that better. That would
oh, the grab chair is going to be terrible when the hands reach down and just grab all the people up. Ugh, so creepy.
A little while ago, one of our people we know in our lives, I won't go very much into detail on that. They were talking to my wife and I, Lisa and I, and she said, she goes, "Oh, I'm so concerned what's going to happen to our animals when we're raptured." To which you feel like saying, "But that's not going to happen. So why are you worried?" But yeah, she's literally. I shouldn't say literally.
Yeah.
I meant to say she's legitimately worried.
Right.
And, you know, that the thing you say then is, don't worry, we'll look after them. Because
well, I think
I know in your mind that
yeah.
we're not coming with you, so don't worry.
Well, the other thing is, though, you don't think God's planned that out in advance? Like, God,
that's right.
God knows.
Yeah.
He's got a plan
he's
for your...
Leave some, he's going to leave some babysitters down here on Earth.
He's going to leave some kibble
stuff.
Out.
Well, that's a thing.
It's fine.
They're animals.
They're going to be fine.
You just... I should have said that to her. What? Why do you think your animals need you? They're animals.
Yeah.
They'll just wander off and forage in the fields. That's what they've been doing for a long time.
Yeah. If there's,
God
if
damn.
There's
although
enough,
they, let's
if
face it,
enough,
they're sheep.
Okay.
A lot of them are sheep. They'll just fall dead.
Maybe, but
they'll
if
just
there's
fall
enough
over dead.
Divine intervention that's going to make you disappear out of your clothes and bring you to heaven and mm. has a plan for everything.
Yeah.
They've got a plan for the animals. Mm. They're down with it. Don't worry. It's all covered. You know, you don't have to go
I
like...
I never thought of that. They disappear and leave their clothes behind?
Yeah.
Sounds hot.
Well, it will be hot where they're going. They're actually going to hell.
That's not what I
That's the
works.
Thing. They don't know. So they're giving them a...
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's where you're post... Oh, I can't remember the names for them anymore.
Post Kellogg's?
Post Kellogg's Post. No, it's... there's a name. There's various understandings of the rapture, and they all have their own name.
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember them anymore.
Well,
told me one time.
I know there's Blondie's rapture.
Blondie's rapture, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the most important rapture. It's the best rapture.
When you finally hear that, that's what the song should play when the rapture happens.
Yeah.
Da, 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 and you're like, oh no, it's happening. Da, 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 da. But you've got like until she gets to the rap part of it to get your shit in order. Like open the doors for your pets.
Sure.
Leave out some bacon for the dog.
You'll believe that cars are from Mars are coming.
Well, that's what was predicted.
All the shit that's
in the Blondie
down.
Bible.
Yeah, the Blondie Bible.
Yeah.
Blondie Revelation.
Don't confuse that with the Blondie comic strip Bible. That's completely different.
So, totally different.
The Book of Bumstead.
The prophet.
And now I quote from Dithers 11.
Dithers 11. Yes. Letter to Dithers. Epistle to Dithers.
What was his neighbor called? Do you remember his neighbor's last name? Herb.
Herb. I don't know.
Something.
Right.
And
know
what always bugged me was like Herb looked just like the mailman.
Well,
like,
he was the mailman.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't the mailman?
No, Herb isn't the mailman. Totally different characters.
Really?
Yeah.
I always thought that they were the same character.
No, different characters.
You're lying to me.
No, no. It was the same thing like when I was a kid and I was reading High and Lois.
Yeah.
And the next door neighbor was Thirsty Thurston,
okay.
who was the drunk.
Bit of a drunk, yeah.
Right.
Wore that hat pulled over his eyes so he couldn't see how bloodshot they were.
A little bit.
Had a trilby.
Nice. And then you also had the garbage man who looked just like Thirsty, like almost exactly.
Well, he was Thirsty.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
No, Thirsty has a regular job, like a Joe job in an office, like kind of that everyone had. That job that everyone had back then.
Yeah,
yeah. Different guys, but just same face.
He worked around a water cooler.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did when he went. The souse. The lazy souse.
I never knew that. You've blown my mind. I read Blondie every day. You know, it's weird.
And you know who her brother is?
Who's Blondie's brother is?
Not Blondie. High and Lois. Lois's brother.
Oh, Beetle Bailey.
Very good.
The weird thing about Blondie here in Vancouver is that the dailies run in the province.
Okay.
And then the Sunday or Saturday strip runs in the competing newspaper. Doesn't that seem odd?
It doesn't seem they're competing, though.
I know they're not competing
they
now because they're owned by the same company.
They're in the same building.
They're in the same building.
They run a lot of the same articles.
Yes, yes.
Like
they
when
have
I used to subscribe
to
both papers, I was like, I'm reading the same thing twice.
Yeah.
Exactly the
it
same
does happen.
Thing twice.
I often read stuff in the Saturday paper in the Sun that I'll see in the Sunday province as well. Because I get, like, I don't take both papers, but I take one paper on the Saturday.
Right.
Because it has the New York Times crosswords in it.
That's and you do that while you're driving? It. Yeah.
The crosswords?
Yeah.
Of course. When else do you do them? It's going to be a challenge. The Monday one's so easy. Oh, I just get the Saturday one because those are the tricky ones. Friday, Saturday.
A lot of people do that that crossword in pen. I'm a little more serious. I do it in tattoo.
Mm.
I have it tattooed on me, and I take a tattoo.
I thought you did it with tattoo, the character from Fantasy.
He's dead. Hervé Villechaize is long since dead.
The character is still alive.
In our hearts.
But don't you think that's kind of odd? Like, I know that they're not competing papers anymore, but it just feels weird to me that the paper that runs the dailies doesn't have it in the Saturday. And here's the thing. The Sun's comic strip section sucks in every way possible. Like, it's done in a way...
And it used to be better than the
It used promise. To be better than The Promise. That's right. And now it's terrible. It's terrible in every way. Their daily strips are color, which is horrible.
Yeah.
They should never be colored.
Yep.
And that's then garbage. Their Saturday strips are like... put together by a guy who doesn't know. It's like put together by my wife putting photos into a thing where she just like, you know, like I'll make it fit. I'll just, you know, squeeze together the two sides.
Yeah.
And then everything gets squeezed and they do that. It's like, it's not even a graphic artist doing this thing.
I know the thing about like coloring the black and white strips. I remember I saw that in Alberta once.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Sure.
And they had Garfield and they made him yellow. It was like, how do you not know? How do you not? How? Yeah. How have you lived your life?
I think they get them color now. Like, they get delivered color because they're color in the computer, right? Like, if you go to the King
Back
Features
then, I don't website, think King Features was coloring Garfield yellow.
No, no. But if you go to the King Features website now, every day you can see all of their strips that they publish in color.
Do you think there's still
but I don't think they should be
Heathcliff
color.
Fans that go, ah, fuck Garfield?
Yeah. I do. I do. I think there are, like, major Heathcliff. Yep. But I don't think... I think that those...
Do you think there's Heathcliff fans out there?
They're a dying breed. They're a dying breed, for sure.
Do you think there's Marmaduke fans who go, I don't care about that Heathcliff. He's taking up valuable time. He could be doubling the space of Marmaduke.
Here's the real question. Didn't you think it was weird that Heathcliff was always really close to Kathy on the newspaper page?
No. That never entered my mind ever. Continue.
Do you get the Okay.
Is this a reference to a novel?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. There's some people out there that are chuckling.
Okay.
I know.
Is this a Wuthering Heights reference?
It was a Wuthering Heights reference. That's right. Thank you. Thanks for pointing it. Once again, we had to cross the T, everyone. We had to cross the T and cross the I. I said that with my eyes crossed, as you know.
So who inherits the Bumstead billions when Dagwood's folks kick it?
Well, they have two children.
Oh, wait. Who's the other child?
They have the son and the daughter.
No. No, I'm talking... Okay. Well, you know that Dagwood Bumstead is a billionaire, right?
No.
Yes. So...
How is he a billionaire?
Oh, you don't know this.
He works a stupid job.
Dave.
At Dithers and, Dave. Dithers and Company.
Dave.
Yeah.
Let me spin you a tale. when the Blondie strip first came out...
Okay, yes.
She was
a flapper.
She was a flapper. Mm-hmm. And she fell in love with a billionaire called Dagwood Bumstead. His folks... Said,
was he really a billionaire?
Yes.
That seems like a lot of money for that time
period.
They
kept talking about the Bumstead billions.
Oh.
So his folks were against him marrying a flapper and said, we will not give you a cent if you marry that flapper.
Oh.
And he went, parents, go screw. And
that was a popular term at the time. That was a 20s term.
It was go screw a GE light bulb in. They're the best there ever was. And they would always say, go screw. You're like, next panel, a GE light bulb, the best there ever was. And then that's a bright idea.
Oh, you Ding. Kid.
That's right. So he married Blondie and had to go to work.
23 screw.
Right. So he went to work. And that's the thing you got to realize is when he's hating his job working for Mr. Dithers.
He doesn't hate it. How can you hate it when you're sleeping?
Because he's getting kicked in the ass by Dithers, old man Dithers.
It is a pretty brutal
office. Yeah. That guy's a billionaire. He could buy and sell Dithers 100 times over if he just dumped his wife and got the money back. But I was thinking like when his folks kick it, that money's floating around. They'll probably give it to him. And then what happens? Be interesting.
I think his parents are long dead.
Okay.
And I think that he got cut out entirely. It all went to his sister.
Right.
His sister Dagmar. And so
and his other brother, Dagnabbit.
Dagnabbit.
Yep.
And they took the Bumstead billions,
okay.
And they're living high in the hog. Meanwhile, he's dithering. And what's interesting about Blondie, it has updated itself a little bit.
What is interesting about Blondie?
But what's no, I think we've already said some interesting things about it, but this is a point I want to make that's interesting. This is interesting rather than amusing or clever. I'm trying to lower the bar here.
Okay.
Please let me do that. What's interesting is that when you read Blondie, even though it's updated a little bit, the jokes about the office life are, as you say, office life of another age. Their office life around the water cooler,
yeah,
et cetera. You know, and so right above it in my local paper is Dilbert, which is, you know, it was a comic strip about modern office life, probably of the 90s, noughties.
Right.
Written by
a guy who's a bit scared of the ladies. Yes.
He looks it.
Yep.
And that's fine. It's fine to be scared of people, but I'm not going to judge him.
Fair enough.
Unless he
writes. That's a job for Judge Parker.
Judge Parker.
Is that still running, Judge Parker?
Yes.
Okay. And back before he was a judge, he was just known as Nosy Parker, who'd be going, "Hey, what's going on in here? Some kind of crime?"
That's right.
It's like, why don't you become a lawyer?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I will. Don't you tell me what's going on? I'll just go be a lawyer. Then he worked his way up to Judge Parker.
He did. He did. And Judge Parker was inserted the Meriwether Rex Morgan MD ilk, right?
So sure.
It was a serious.
It was no Cary Drake, I'll tell you that much.
Cary Drake. That was the son one. You put me off.
I know. I'm throwing you off.
It's interesting though when you see the one, which is obviously this sort of very carefree look at office life of a long time ago when apparently you could not get fired. You could go to work like Tipsy O'Hooligan, High and Lois's neighbor.
Yeah.
Or you could go like Dagwood and sleep at your desk and constantly lose and or wreck or somehow destroy contracts
with
clients of the company. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Dilbert's world, it's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare world of office politics, of gender politics, of
murder,
of dog politics, some sort of weird dog thing that
yeah.
I don't know if he's running. Is he running the company?
Dogbert?
Or is he just there?
Dogbert runs a lot of stuff, but not the company.
Because there's one boss. There's a guy with like two ice cream cones inside of his head.
Yeah.
Then there's another boss who's like a bald-headed guy who's above pointy-eared ice cream cone guy. But then there's Dogbert, who's some sort of weird...
He just kind of knows it all.
I don't know what his role is in the company. I don't understand.
He's a consultant.
We need some sort of one of those things with boxes with lines pointing towards him.
Sure.
What is that called? A graph of some kind?
Sure.
An infographic that explains to me the hierarchy of this company, because I don't understand it.
If you wrote to Scott Adams and you're a man, I'm sure he'd write back and tell you what you wanted.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll write, but I'll use a woman's name.
No. That's just asking for trouble.
I'm okay with him being scared of women as long as he doesn't write extensively about it on a blog.
Oh, well, then you're in trouble.
Oops.
Whoops.
Oh, dear. But it's one I've read a lot of people saying it's a terrible cartoon and stuff like that, but I actually read it every day.
That's fine.
I read it every day.
It's got some jokes.
It's got some stuff going on.
It's got more jokes than most.
Yeah, that's true. Better than Zach Hill, which I never read. Literally never read. It's better than Rudy Park, is that what it's called?
Is that the one where it's like there's a coffee shop and all these horrible looking people are talking politics a little bit, sort of, but
and
not
then there's
really.
there's one character who's like an old lady who's like a right wing radio personality.
Yeah. I feel like there should be you should have the Doonesbury strip, right, in the middle of all those.
Yeah.
And every strip should just end with one of the characters looking around going, "What's all this shit?" Just around
it. Isn't Doonesbury done though?
No, I think Doonesbury's back. Am I wrong?
Oh, I don't know, because I don't see it in the Sun, and that's where it used to run.
Hmm. But it would run on the editorial page because
that was dumb.
But it was the only place they would print it big enough that he would let them run it. Like that was the thing. He held off on that. Well, now you look. I mean, you're complaining now that everything's so squished.
Know. I'm just saying that's silly for him to make that sort of a fuss. Because,
he was fine. He was rich. He was rich enough.
My friend
was
tearing down a house one time as a job, not just for the fun of it.
Right.
He was in Graham Greene's story, The Wreckers, and. There is a literary reference, everybody.
Well done, everyone.
Did you get that? That's a great grade 12 reading.
The Wreckers, everyone?
Wuthering Heights? Wuthering Wreckers?
Everyone got that?
Wreckering Heights.
Breaker 1-9er? I got a great big convoy. Got a wreck into the night. BJ and the Bear? Everyone got that? BJ?
So,
the Bear, BJ? Everyone got that?
He was tearing down this house, and he found in the wall, they had stuffed newspapers in the walls as filler, I guess.
Yeah.
And he found like old comic pages they were so massively big, the the comics.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea. Like, when I was a, young, struggling teenager, I did a paper route. And, on Saturdays, we would get the paper and we'd have to stuff it. We'd have to take the comic section and put it into the black and white section.
Right.
And, you know.
Put a layer of cheese in there as well. How many, let that heat up in the sun.
We made a club sandwich out of the paper. And, you know, how many papers you had? 50 papers. You'd stuff 50 comics into it. And then you'd put them in your sack and throw them in your bike and go deliver them. But they were big, right? Like, they were.
Yeah.
They looked big then. But when you saw these, you're like, they were ginormous.
What are we talking about? 40s, 50s,
50s.
50s, yeah.
I had like, really it had Little Abner, had some Pogo in it, some, you know, interesting strips. And it was amazing how nice and how big they were. Like, the art was great. And, you know, there was a variety of art. Like, now, I know that, like, Peanuts kind of heralded the end of a style of comics and allowed for comics to get smaller because it was such a simple strip that it, you know, you could reduce it no matter what. And you could still see that people, there was a big-headed round, or big, you know, round-headed guy. Whereas if you had, like, Steve Canyon, if you shrunk that down, it just became like a bunch of, you know, lions. You know, it went from chiaroscuro to Kira, what the hello?
And when you get the color version of Prince Valiant, it's a shame.
Yeah,
because it was so gorgeous. You look at you look at some of that stuff, and I used to go to the comic shop, and they would have a little comic store that was here in Vancouver, and I would go in the late 80s, and they would have comic strips from the Vancouver Sun, Vancouver Province, from the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay,
and they would sell them just the comics pages for a buck. So I'd like buy a bunch of those.
Wow.
And bring home. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
What an experience.
And sometimes I'd do this. I was a little bit of an imp. I would when I'd go to like the dentist or whatever, and they'd have like little newspapers or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd put those comic strips in the paper,
and
so people would read them like, "What the? It's from 68. What's happening?" And
I like it, but I don't like the idea of not having them anymore. But I guess
You can't things keep pile them forever. Up. Yeah, things pile up.
But I could keep them forever.
Yeah, you see, you go back then and like Broomhilda's smoking. Everything's King of Wizard of It is murdering people left, right, and center. A lot of death.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of murder.
I had to go punctured tires repaired a little while ago. And so I went to this local tire dealership and they had some old BC books sitting on their table in their place.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading and the guy walked through and he goes, I found those in my garage the other day. So I just brought them in here. And they're the really old ones, you know, like they had some really old ones. And then the kind of later old ones where that style changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Style kind of streamlined. And those are great.
Yeah, they are.
Those are just fantastic.
Really surreal and nice, really, really nicely drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were strips I loved. I read them when I was in elementary school. I loved them a lot. And those were ones that I would draw myself and redo the jokes with my own characters in them.
And then sometime in the future someone said to Mr. Hart, "Hey, you know, why don't you talk about Jesus in your strip?"
I don't think that's what happened.
No. Well, what do you think happened?
Well, he went through born again experience. Which is like a honeymoon experience, right? Like when you first met your girlfriend or got married, if you never had sex before your marriage and you went on your honeymoon, well, you just fucked for days.
Right.
That's your life. When you first meet
if
someone.
I'm drawing a comic strip, I'm mostly writing about sex in my comic strip then.
When that happens, right? Like you're just, that's what your life is, right? Your life is all about fucking this woman you just met because your hormones are crazy and you don't eat very much and you just want to spend a lot of time in bed. And it's kind of the same experience when you become a Christian. Not that you have a lot of sex. I'm just saying that you go through this incredible...
Depends which branch of Christianity.
You go through this incredible experience.
Yeah.
This honeymoon feeling of that you are actually in the presence of God or Christ.
Yep.
And you want everyone to know it. And then, you know, and then if you join a highly evangelical sect of Christianity, then you're not only do you... have to be a Christian. You also have to let everyone know.
Yeah, and you have to put down the good news. Yeah,
and make sure everyone knows how good you are
right.
as a religion and how shit everything else is. And that's And so that's obviously what happened to him. That he went through a late life conversion, probably related to the fact that he was an alcoholic and went through AA, and possibly as part of that experience, you know, had a transcendent moment of born again and wanted everyone to know about it. Which is unfortunate, because the worst way to let everyone know about something that's great is to tell them over and over again how great it is, because they will really hate Stranger Things. It's just goes with the...
And we're back! We're back to Stranger Things! We've made it. We made it all the way back. As we're past a bit of an hour, what did you think generally of Stranger Things without spoiling things?
Oh, I love that show a lot. And what I realized, the other night, I made a terrible mistake. which I do sometimes, which is I watched a film that I thought was okay when I saw it a long time ago. I watched a little film called Romancing the Stone. I don't know if people have seen this film. I saw it when I was a kid.
Yep.
I thought, that's a pretty good movie.
Here's my biggest problem with Romancing the Stone.
Sure.
The song Romancing the Stone is not in Romancing the Stone.
I don't know that song.
It's the Eddie Grant song. We're romancing the stone, never leaving my poor heart alone. They played that song forever. Then had the video with clips of the thing. You know, like the movie's called Romancing the Stone. I'm watching the movie and like there is literally 4 seconds of the song when someone walks in the room where it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da, done. And it's over. It's like, what are you not playing the song? It drove me nuts as a kid. Like, why are you not putting Romance in the Stone in Romance in the Stone? And later on, there was a reason for it legally that they couldn't use more than that.
Okay.
But continue with your...
And what I realized, what I really liked about Stranger Things was that it did hearken...
Oh, no, I want to hear more about Romance in the Stone. What did you like about Romance in the Stone?
Well, let me just say one thing about Stranger Things.
Can we talk about the sequel to Romancing the Stone?
Jewel of Denial, is that what it's called?
No. Jewel of Denial.
Jewel of Denial.
That's what it was. Okay, no. Go ahead. Just talk about Stranger Things.
What was good about Stranger Things was that it did harken back. I mean, everyone's really hammered about the fact that it's based in the 80s and it has a lot of 80s stuff in it and da-da-da. But the really great thing about it is that it actually wasn't made in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so there's no fucking saxophone fucking playing through the whole fucking movie or show because, oh my God. There turns out that I thought I was okay with the saxophone. I like John Coltrane. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Rasan Roland Kirk.
Right.
I like the saxophone.
Right.
But I do not like the saxophone.
This all laid the pipes, by the way, to the Bill Clinton presidency, was all this pro-saxophone hysteria that was going on.
I guess so, because... Oh my God!
I wrote on my Facebook page the other day that you there's much less shirtless saxophoning than when I was a kid. There was always a shirtless guy like in Lost Boys or whatever, or other things.
Okay,
where it's a shirtless guy and he's playing the saxophone. That was a thing in the early '80s that everyone was like, "You're playing the sax? Take off your shirt."
Well, okay. It just seems like I'm okay. I guess I'm gonna have to watch Gregory's Girl again because I think there's a saxophone playing it, and
if I watched it now, it would kill me. Men at Work did a lot of saxophoning. It would kill me.
The Spandau Ballet, like songs like Gold, or that song called Gold,
or True.
True, that's what I'm thinking of. That True has the saxophone in it.
They also did Gold.
Wham has a saxophone in it because I was watching Deadpool, rewatched Deadpool, and they play that song, and it's not actually a saxophone. We decided while we were watching that it's a synthesizer pretending it's a saxophone, but yet it is a terrible saxophone sound.
Well, however, the synthesizer identifies itself.
The soundtrack to Romancing the Stone. Has by Alan Silvestri has a terrible saxophone playing all through the movie.
So, did you like the music to
yeah, it's good because it's not full of like synth washes.
Yeah.
From the 80s, it's actually like modern synthesizers playing modern music with an 80s element to it, but it's actually not terrible like that movie.
The houses felt real to me in Stranger Things. That basement they were in felt
you,
real. Because
you lived in those places.
Yeah,
you
that's
knew them.
The basement of the 80s.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
We all were in those places where it was just only for the kids to be in. The parents didn't come down there very much because it was too messy and it made them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But Romance in the Stone, that film it's not terrible, but it's just not fun or pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but they go sliding down that thing together. That mud.
That's what you remember.
Yep.
And then when it happens in the film, you're like, well, that was unpleasant. He lands between her legs. Yuck. Like, that didn't need to happen. And
different time.
Here's the other thing. I'm going to whisper this, everybody. Kathleen Turner wasn't that good looking. It turns out this movie, unless this movie is just like so ineptly made that they made a beautiful woman kind of plain and homely.
Well, did you see her in Body Heat?
I never saw Body Heat.
Well, she's pretty good in Body Heat.
Well, so either the cinematographer... A Body Heat deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award for making her sexy.
Okay.
Or Romancing the Stone deserves an award for the opposite effect, that it made her not that appealing.
Or there was a thing in the 80s where there's a lot of guys in the 80s who you look at now and go like, that was a sex symbol.
Well, yeah.
Like, that was what we wanted. Sure, I guess that was the thing.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Your taste changed.
The 80s were a rough time.
I guess you're right,
because
there was like that kind of Kirstie Alley, like that kind of big woman. Was kind of a popular thing at the time. And
again,
you
we're just
it,
coming
like,
off of Richard Dreyfuss being a sex symbol. So, yeah, like, you're right. Things are rough. Yeah. Things are rough all over.
And then there's this thing where, like, and you feel really, like, you feel bad. Like, okay, there's a scene where, like, this guy's trying to break into Kathleen Turner's apartment.
Okay.
Because her sister has sent her a treasure map.
All right.
And there's this guy coming out of his apartment. And he's like, what are you doing in Mrs. So-and-so's apartment? What are you doing there, sir? And then he gets killed. And you're like, well, that's mean. Like, why did he just...
There was a cruelty to the 80s.
And then it had the horrible overflowing bathtub element for me that's never mentioned. Like, she comes back to her apartment and there's not police there. There's no one investigating the murder of a man in her hallway. Is this not mentioned ever again? As if you can murder people and no one pays any attention to it? Which I don't think would happen. I think people finding a dead body in the hallway would involve police and or ambulance.
Are you saying if people want to see a movie with Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito, then they should see War of the Roses instead?
No, because that film is really terrible. Really, really, really terrible.
I remember minding that one.
There's nothing good about a film about two people hating each other.
Except that they went all the way with it. That they didn't cut it with a happy ending.
I guess.
And they felt like, oh, we're going European. That's how we're doing it.
If you want that, see Shoot the Moon.
All right.
Albert Finney and Diane Keaton.
Let me also throw out another recommendation.
Because that's a serious drama that really like goes all the way with how marriage ends in a terrible way.
Shoot the Moon.
I think that's what it's called.
All right. I like this ending with recommendations. So Dave's saying see Shoot the Moon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. If you like Stranger Things, and you're like, I want to see that. I want to see a comic that's kind of like Stranger Things. Let me hook you up.
Oh, a comic?
A comic book.
That's kind of like Stranger Things, Stranger Things.
Well, I'll tell you, it's set in the 80s.
Okay.
Go with that much.
Okay. I think I know where you're going.
Some supernatural shit's going down.
Oh, okay. Wait a second.
And it's called Paper Girls.
Oh, that's where I thought you were going.
Yeah, and it's written by Brian K. Vaughan, and it's drawn by Cliff Chang, and it's quite interesting. Yeah, it's I think you will enjoy it. It's available in your local bookstore or your comic store.
Is this a remake of the 80s comic Paper Boys?
Are you talking the 80s video game Paper Boy?
No, the 80s comic Paper Boys. Is this a remake of that?
No, tell me more.
Is this a joke on the gender switching?
Oh, because
of the
gender switch.
Oh my god!
All right, listen, guys. Folks, we'll be back next week. Davina and Iana, we're going to do a gender swap as well.
Iannica, we've already established.
Iannica, god damn it, that is absolutely right. Sorry, it is very hot in here. Once again, we would love your questions or your remarks or your comments on this week's episode.
Here's the thing about the question show, is you get a chance to make us shut up and talk about stuff you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, if you
otherwise,
thought
we're
this whole
talk
show
about the Bumstead Billions.
Yeah.
You didn't want to listen to that
if
garbage.
You thought the show was a bunch of crap that was like, obviously, we hadn't prepared.
Look,
we're just winging it.
We're trying to keep our ratings low.
Yeah.
We don't want a lot of people listening to us. So we're talking about Heathcliff, and then we're transferring to a joke about Wuthering Heights that no one's going to like.
Sure.
Then we're going to move from there to talking about who Beetle Bailey's sister is.
Yeah.
No one wants
that.
To a scathing takedown, finally, of Romancing the Stone.
Oh, I did not
enjoy
that film.
No prisoners.
Did not enjoy
no
that film.
No prisoners is what we say. Mm. No topic too old.
You know what's
no
weird?
Target
here's
too
one more
small.
Weird, one more weird thing about Romancing the Stone before we go. One more weird thing. Okay, there's a scene in it.
Seth Rogen, by the way, is doing a remake called Stoning the Romance.
Ooh. There's a scene in it. Okay, the film takes place in Colombia.
Okay.
Filmed in Mexico, because Colombia in those days was dangerous. Except for one part of the film, filmed in Utah. A really good stand-in for Mexico, you say? No, it's not. It's not a good stand-in, because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know there are no fir trees in Mexico. Or you think there aren't. I don't know if there are fir trees there, but when you think Mexico, you don't think fir trees.
Okay.
Like, nothing makes you think Utah. Like, when you think of Mexico, you don't go, you know what, it's a good stand-in for Utah? A good stand-in for Mexico? Utah.
Right.
You know, why didn't they land boats there? Why didn't the Love Boat land in Utah? They could have saved a lot of money. No. They didn't.
I'm gonna just say one thing real quick.
Sure.
I've been watching.
Say it.
For some reason, we've been watching a lot of MeTV, which is this, which is the oldie channel.
Sure.
Here in Vancouver,
it's for us. It's a TV channel for us.
Yeah, Memorable Entertainment.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, Memorable Entertainment Television.
Oh.
So what you end up getting is you're watching a show.
Yeah.
You're watching like a Columbo or a McLeod or a Rockford Files.
And then there's an ad for goiter.
And then, and all ads for goiter ointment. And have you had gauze left in you? And are your dentures being stole by your nurse? Well, how about trouble in the bath?
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah. But
I used to like it because I would see customers when I used to work for the medical supply company. I would see customers' advertisements.
Oh, okay.
I'd be like, oh, there's so and so on the island.
I occasionally see people that I work with in the cheap commercials. Mm. You know, like they're the people who are the good smile after you see the person with the bad smile.
Because the weird thing about MeTV, well, the original station KVOS Channel 12, which we got if you had cable,
which we watched for cartoons,
which we watched for cartoon Funorama,
Frisky Frolics and Funorama.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Monkees, played the Monkees, Gilligan's Island, possibly Brady Bunch. No, I don't think I saw it there, but. The interesting thing about them was it was actually a Canadian station, but they weren't allowed to get a broadcasting license in Canada. So they moved across the border to Bellingham to broadcast there. But it really was for here. Like most of the commercials were for Vancouver stores.
That's right.
Vancouver businesses. Anyway, no one cares. Sorry. No, sorry, everybody.
It's fine. But what they do is they show the old shows, your Gilligan's Island or whatever.
Yeah.
And then amidst the you're going to die ads, never an ad for like a Whopper.
Yeah.
God help you. Then like an old face will come on like, remember me? I was on this show. Watch me on the show. And it's like makes it hard to watch the show.
Yeah.
Because
you're
like, oh, no, time has not been kind to anyone. And just,
yeah.
I was on Lost in Space.
Remember me? I was on Petticoat Junction. I was one of the girls in the water tower.
How you doing? I was the racist Japanese character on Gilligan's Island. I didn't know the war was over.
What's that guy's name? He was actually an Italian actor.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think he could just been Italian?
Did a lot of stuff.
Well, and the Italians wouldn't have known the war was over. They were in on the war.
He was the Paul Frees of sitcom character actors.
Yeah.
He just was on everything.
Except, do you know who's the only
Monkeys?
Who's the only Kill person who comes in? By the way, monkeys are coming to the PNE.
I might.
Here's the one person that comes across. Two people come across looking good.
Okay.
And those ads. One, Dick Van Dyke. Still looks fine.
He's dead, but okay.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Not even close. to dead. He's still fine.
Okay.
Shut up about Dick Van Dyke. And the other person is Don Wells.
Don Wells, from Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
The one that we all would have gone with.
The only surviving one.
Of course, she was ginger, so we all loved her.
She was not ginger. She was Marion. but yeah, she comes on, and she's doing bits, and she's got timing.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's able to do some shtick, and they sometimes put her into a Perry Mason thing, and they do some business.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, kind of looking her up, going like, oh, well, she survived. How's she doing? And it's like, she survived and is rich, because she was the only one on Gilligan's Island that got a deal for reruns and syndication, because her husband was an agent.
Oh.
And when they were making their contracts, no one thought this would do anything, because it was a shitty show.
Yeah.
I don't think
it was shitty, but okay.
They did. They thought it was shitty. They thought this ain't going to go nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wrote a little thing in there just like, oh, yeah, she'll get paid this much for reruns if reruns ever happen. And then reruns happened.
Wow.
And she was the only one on Gilligan's Island that made money off it. She was the Alec Guinness of Star Wars of her time. The only one who had like a little deal.
Nice.
So here's the thing, see her and she's healthy and surviving. It's like, yes, she is.
People make fun of Gilligan's Island and say it was a bad show.
Wasn't.
It was not. Like, that episode where they take Hamlet and put it to
be or not to be, this is the question Carmen. That I ask
To Carmen. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant episode.
I know.
Like, you another still remember thing. That? Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Like, that's how
and
you
just
know.
Just one other thing you ought to do, to thine own self be true.
Yep. That's how you know those things from that episode. I mean, that's a brilliant episode, and there were lots of other ones that were great. I particularly like the dream episodes myself, but that was a good show. I'm going to defend it to the end.
Absolutely.
I don't watch it. I haven't seen it since I was a teenager.
Here's my problem.
But I'm
with,
telling you,
here's my one
it was
problem
good in its day.
With the show was where they were like,
they never got off the island.
It's Gilligan. No, they did get off the island
eventually. But not
they got off
the shows.
Island, and then they went back, and then they got off the island again, and then they had a series. Where
I know, but never gone. During the life of the actual show did they get off the
that's
island.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You want that to be its own little enclosed thing.
Sure.
The movie star.
Yes, Ginger.
Ginger.
Yeah.
Well, she's a millionaire as well. So you got two millionaires on the island.
Okay.
And that never gets brought up. Just whenever Thurston Howell is like, we've got all this money. Oh, yeah. It's like she never.
He's very.
I know. He's super rich.
Yeah.
But she never turns and goes like, you know, I'm a movie star. I've got money too.
Yeah.
So
I can afford to buy a gold dress.
Yeah. And I've also got looks. So and also, by the way,
sure did.
Money means nothing on this island. So shut your damn mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ginger Grant. Shut your damn mouth.
But I was always more of a fan of Ginger, the simple country girl. That's where I always went.
So if you got questions for Dave about whether he's all right, you let us know. Once again, that's at SneakyD at SneakyDragon.com. SneakyD at SneakyDragon.com. That's our email. We're on SneakyDragon.com. That's where you find our message boards. Write us.
Yeah.
Say what you think of Dave's drawings. They're nice. They're pretty. Why don't you write them and say that?
Not
appearing drawings. Why don't you go on Facebook and drop us a line there? We put stuff up there.
Sure do.
Twitter, that is at @sneaky_dragon, and Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. We're on all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, also live at various shows that you could come to. Look at the beginning of the episode. You'll see when those shows are and come say hi. We always love meeting you all in person. And yeah, please give us questions and win prizes.
Yes.
Anything more to say?
Nope. I'm done.
All right. Let's vanish. Let's get out of here. Let's go to the underside, as they say, in the Stranger Things. And we'll see you next week here on Sneaky Dragon.
We're just going to make everyone hate it.
Leaving his poor heart alone.